just close your eyes this morning, praise God. And if you have a need this morning, just lift your hand up before the Lord. Praise God, praise God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the words we've been singing. I love you, Lord. And Lord, we love you because you first loved us and gave yourself for us, a ransom for us. What a ransom Christ paid on the cross. Oh, Lord, this evening, this morning, we've come to praise you. We've come to magnify your lovely name. We've come to worship you and adore you. And uplift you, Lord Jesus, for you're worthy to be praised and worthy to be magnified and worthy to be uplifted in your name is far above every other name, the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we speak the name of Jesus Christ over this house and every hand that's raised into every situation, every circumstance. We speak the name of Jesus Christ. And we pray there'll be a change, a transformation. Oh God, that something will take place because of the name of Jesus Christ. Touch everyone in this room, every boy, every girl, every man, every woman. Bless the musicians, bless the song leader, bless each one. Pray for Bobby, Lord, I thank you, I've given him 70 years. God, I praise you for him and for his testimony. And I pray, God, you'll give him many, many more years in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we know your word's blessed, but we pray you'll stop it with your own approval. And oh God, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me now. And I thank you that you do. Comfort and strengthen men and women in this room. Give them hope beyond hope and courage beyond courage. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Praise God. I'm going to ask you to do something, and if you don't want to do it, don't worry about it. Shake hands, rivers beside you, and say, God bless you. Now, if you're still under COVID rules, don't do it, but I'm not under them. I'm under the Lord's rules. Amen. How many believes God? Glory. Praise God. Isn't the Lord good? Tell you, see, there's still a board at the back, social distancing, and I hit it. I'm social distancing no more. Seen a thing on the other day, they're ready to start again. Another big bluff to the public. I'll tell you, they'll not social distance the fuel, sure they won't. They need to social distance it. If they cut the fuel in about the half price, it would still be too dear. And that's the truth, isn't it? We've been ripped off. Amen. There's someone else behind it. Yes. There's two spirits in the world today, the Holy Spirit and the unholy spirit. Praise God. You may have seen it. Praise God. The Lord bless you all this morning, and God bless you, Brother Bobby, and I thank the Lord for Bobby. God really used Bobby with me. You know, I'd backslidden and gotten away from the Lord, and Bobby encouraged me a lot and took me to meetings down to Whitewells. And I can remember it well because he was driving a red Alpine BMW. And I used to love that car. It was some car. And probably there's other ones better, but that one was the best one for me. You know, if God ever does something for you and you're in a car or a certain place, there's nothing else ever like it. Isn't that right? I'll guarantee you, whatever tractor you first learned to drive on, you think there's no tractor like it. But the other fella, if he learned someone else, it's the best. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, if you ask the McKinsey's, it's a major. I know that. It's a major, it's a tractor. Isn't that right? And Ford. Praise God. Then somebody else could have said, it's not red, keep it in the shed. That's a massive. But God's good, isn't he? God is good. Praise God. The brother mentioned there's a service at 3 o'clock. It's for this man here, Sir Henry Wilkinson. Is that the right? Wilson, and you know the provost killed him, and that man fought in the war and everything, and brother Raymond Flanagan sent me a great poem about this man that was written, and it's a wonderful poem how they'll stand before God's judgment if they're not born again. And they say this man was a saved man and a wonderful man, and they're going to do a service from 3 to 4 the day, and anybody that wants to go to it is very welcome to come and go to that service today, and then we'll be back at 6 this evening. Now, I've never had as many views on an advert on Facebook as I've had in this one, and I think it's because I mentioned purgatory. Because it's usually about 90 people. people look at it, but it's at 200 this morning and only put it up last night. So somebody's looking at it, but I'm going to preach about it.
Amen.
And I'll tell you, there's people that die, and I love them with the love of the Lord, and they're under a lie. And we need to blast it clean out of the water. And we need to show from the Word of God that Jesus is the way. And He's paid all that needs to be paid. And there's nothing else can be added to it or taken from it. Jesus is the only way.
Amen.
Praise God. We want to read this morning from 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1 till 10. Maybe it's quite a long reading. And I want to talk a little bit this morning about throwing off the old coat. And I hope this helps every one of us. But you know, the Bible says, listen, we're not like those without hope. There's so many people, they lost someone and they never get over it. But I want you to get over it. Because if they're saved, they're in the glory.
Amen.
And they would never come back to this place. I can guarantee you that. You couldn't bring them back. And they're in a far better place. And we're going to get out of it. We're living in a pest house. The only thing that helps us is there's a life in here.
Amen.
That fixes this stuff on the outside. It works on it. And I thank God it is, because if it didn't, we'd be all in trouble. It's not right. Amen. Let's read in verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, this is, sorry, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Maybe I said 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. How long does it last for? My Bible says eternal.
Amen.
Amen. We're allotted 70 years and 10 more by reason of health. That's 80. And if you get above 80, above 70 is a bonus. There's 10 extra if you're good. And above 80, you're on the real bonus. That's the truth now. That's the Bible. The Bible says we're allotted 70 years and 10 extra by reason of health. And you know, my own grandmother, what was she, 98? 97, what an age. 97 years of age. Now that's tremendous.
Yeah.
And there's people in this room could live to 100. That's the truth now. I believe that. And it's God's grace that does that.
Amen.
But even if you live to 300, and the Lord didn't come, you're going to die.
That's right.
But there's hope, isn't there?
Amen.
There's a death appointment, but there's hope. Praise God.
Amen.
Verse 2, For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be called upon with our house which is from above. If so be that being clothed we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Now when Paul talks about this tabernacle, he's talking about your house. And he talks about a tent, he's talking about your house. That's why I said in the tabernacle series, we need to take it sometime from John's gospel and show it that Christ is a tent.
Yes.
And maybe the Lord will lead us into that. For we that are in verse 4 in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life.
Amen.
Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who have given us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For if we walk by faith, not by sight, we are confident. I say not willing rather to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted in Him. For we must appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to he hath done, whether it be good or bad. And that's talking to believers. That's not to the unsaved. Now, I might not have time to go into verse 10 this morning, but there's, how many knows when you run a race, you have judges at the end of it, and you have a podium. And there's reward. And then the Bible talks about somebody's work being burned as by fire. And there's a lot of men started off well, but they didn't finish good. And they did things that they shouldn't have did. And there's a lot of people and their works are burned as by fire. Amen. Go you can't do nothing. Steady. Do you ever hear the old saying? You never hear it now. But my father used to talk about it. And no other people you'd hear it recently. Take your time, boy. Steady as you go. Do you ever see fellas that race a horse? If you're racing a horse, you don't go out and win with a horse on the first few bits of it. You don't give it. You don't ever see the jockey whipping the horse when he starts off and cutting lumps out of him for the start of the race, trying to win at the start. That's not where he wins it. He wins it at the end. He holds him actually back. Some jockeys hold the horse back till they get to a certain point of the race, then they let him go for it. But the ones that let go from the start, sometimes they don't make the finish line. And God wants us steady as we go. God wants us not just to start this race, but to finish it. And the Bible says, he which hath begun a good work in you shall finish it, perfect it, unto the day of Jesus Christ. Is that right? Now there's loads here I could read you, but I want to go straight to thoughts because we want to have communion this morning. The first thing, let's consider Paul here, what he says. If our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's your old coat. This what you're in, I'm not talking about this jacket, but the body is an old coat. And no matter what age you are, but the body you're in is only a suitcase for your soul. Jim, Willie Nelson used to sing that. And I worked with a fella who was big for Willie Nelson. He used to play it in his car. And I preached his funeral. Brother Yule knew him. Oh, Rockwood knew him. And I preached his funeral, and I mentioned that at his funeral. And he left instructions at the funeral that he wanted me to take the funeral, but it had to be short and straight to the point. So that's exactly what I did. But it doesn't take long to share the gospel, I can guarantee you that. You don't need 2 hours. If it takes you 2 hours, you've missed something. You can get it over faster than that. And your body's only a suitcase for the soul. And Paul says, here he calls it a coat, we're dissolved. If the old coat were dissolved today, we have another coat, which is better than this coat. If this old tabernacle today were dissolved, we have another tabernacle made by God, superior to this one. Now you know, even when the rapture takes place and the dead in Christ rise first, you know the Bible says when we go, we will be changed. We're going to be changed before we enter into heaven. Do you know why? Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom of God. We will be changed. And we'll go to be with the Lord. Now people mix it up. The Bible says if it changed in a moment, and people take that phrase, changed in a moment, and they translate that, you'll go in a moment. It doesn't say that. It says if it changed in a moment.
Amen.
But for years people preach, you'll go in a moment, but the Bible never said nothing about going in a moment. Said you'll be changed in a moment.
Amen.
The rapture could take place over longer than people think. And you know Jesus, after he was resurrected, it was 40 days before he went back to heaven. And he did things, and he showed himself to them by many infallible proofs before he went. And when he rose, there was another resurrection, and that was the saints that was held in Abraham's bosom, a special prepared place for the Old Testament saints. God emptied, Jesus emptied it. How many knows that? That the way couldn't be made to heaven that Christ went. Now, I'm not saying nobody went, because I said the other week, Moses and Elijah had to go somewhere, didn't they? Because they appeared with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration, robed in white. Jesus' garment shone as white. Is that right?
Amen.
He did not fear. Paul didn't fear himself would be dissolved. He had no fear of it. And we're to have no fear of death. As Christians, we're to have no fear of death. And the changing of the coat, which he looked forward to knowing, you know, and Paul, you see, could write about these things because Paul was a tent maker. And Paul knew maybe when he went to fix some tents, they weren't worth fixing. They were dissolving. And just as the natural tent dissolves, our tent dissolves. Because it's a body of sin we're living in. We were born in sin and shame and iniquity. We had to be born again. But we have another tabernacle witness. That's what Paul's saying. How many believe? Some people, you know, don't believe Paul. A man came to our meetings one time and he said to me at the end of it, I don't like that fella Branham and I don't like Paul the Apostle either. I said, I think you're in trouble, mister. He didn't like William Branham and he didn't like Paul. But yet with all, when William Branham went beyond the curtain of time and that experience, and he said, I preached what Paul preached, and a multitude said, we're depending upon that. He said, for Paul baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, and for Peter did it, I did it. He didn't say I called three titles over them. There's no scripture for it, brothers. And let me say this about water baptism this morning. If you're saved, you need to get baptized in water if you're not baptized. Amen. This business of we don't need to get baptized is not scriptural.
That's right. Amen.
Jesus said, go into all the world, baptize them.
Amen.
And what else did he say in the commission? In the name of the Father, that's the Lord, and of the Son, Jesus, the Holy Ghost is anointed Christ. What else does he tell you? Observe all things whatsoever I've said to you. Observe them. Do them. Then Peter in Acts 2:38 gives us the prescription. Repent ye therefore every one of you and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, which is eternal life. Somebody says that right. Well, Corinthians says it is, but it says by one Spirit are you baptized into one body. Now that's not the Elam or the Methodist, and God bless them all, or the Presbyterian. It's the body of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Not any lodge we're talking about, but the body of Jesus Christ. You're born into it by one Spirit.
Amen.
Baptized in. And you need to be baptized in water. And you're showing to the world, I'm dying with Jesus and I'm rising with him as well when you come up out of them waters. It's essential to be baptized in water. I believe that. Infant baptism is not scriptural. People take a little baby and the infant baptize it. You're starting it wrong to begin with. And it's not right. It's not scriptural. There's no Bible for it.
Amen.
I have a friend of mine, you know, he fell out with a certain church recently over that. Because the minister more or less said his son was infant baptized, but his son wasn't. Because this man didn't believe in it. But the old minister of that church baptized his son on a lake. In proper Christian baptism. But infant baptism, I don't want to get into it this morning, but I can tell you something where it come from. Same place as purgatory came from. Same place as three-title baptism came from. Let's, brother, not let's forget ourselves. At 325 AD at the Nicene Council, they forbid the early disciples to preach in the name of Jesus Christ and forbid them to baptize in the way they were doing it in the name of Jesus Christ. They brought in the three titles.
Amen.
You see, you have a problem if you've got... If the Father's a person and the Holy Spirit's another person... That's two persons now. And the Bible says that God is a Father of Jesus Christ. And the same Bible says the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary and she conceived by the Holy Spirit. That's not two different people. That's the same one God.
Amen.
But you see the problem you get into. Trinity's right in the sense of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three. But once you get into persons... Three individual persons. No, but this is serious. Because God's more than a person. Let me tell you that. He's more than a person. You're limited in that chair you're in this morning. You are limited. What you can do, but God is not. He's greater than a person. He's more than a person. He's a supernatural being with supernatural ability, with supernatural authority. And you can't stamp a wee title on him and fit him in your wee box. He'd not go in there.
He's
too big for it. That's God. He's almighty. And the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. God. What would they do with that scripture? And so many attributes of God. And so many names for God. How many knows that? He's the bright morning star. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the lily of valley. Oh, he's so many wonderful names. But the name that was given for salvation is the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes.
It's the name that's above every other name.
Amen.
I'm glad for that name.
Amen.
Paul called it the salving of the earthly house of this tabernacle. The taking down of the tent, the house, the body, the changing of the old coat. Imagine taking the coat off and throwing it away. Do you ever wear a coat and it was done? Do you ever a shirt or a coat that you liked it? I have. I worked coat, shirt, you know, and Sharon sewed it for me several times. And next thing it would disappear. Where's the shirt? Well, it's done, it's ripped, but I still want it anyhow. I want that old coat, that old shirt, because you like it. There's something about it and you like it. And sometimes God wants us to get out of these old coats we're in.
Amen.
But we're so caught up with the world. But one day we're going to leave these coats behind.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. You're going to be taken. And if you're tucked in the coat you're in, God will change it for you. But whatever he does with it, he'll do it. And I can't fully understand it or explain it. Nobody can, because they're not God. But God's going to do it. But I'll tell you, when he changes it, you'll not be like you are now.
Glory.
You'll be changed.
Right.
You won't have the desires and things you have now when you get over into heaven.
Amen.
You'll be changed. If we were to be destroyed, if we were to be annihilated, there's no language like that that Paul's afraid of. In the Bible, a person that's born again cannot be destroyed. A person that's born again cannot be annihilated, because the born is the Spirit of God which lives eternally.
Amen.
There's a part that will die, but there's a part that cannot die. Oh, hallelujah. He knows no language like this, Paul. He feels assured that he himself is perfectly safe. Paul has no fear of the sudden end, you know, what's coming. But he's happy within himself, and he's clear. And look at our text here in verse 1 of 2 Corinthians 5. For we know of this earthly house, of this tabernacle, we're dissolved. We have a building of God and house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens.
Amen.
You see, when you get that word, don't forget about it. That word, eternal in the heavens. Don't forget it. I give unto you eternal life.
Yes. Amen.
That's the words of Jesus Christ. They'll never perish, and nobody will pluck them out of my hand. Eternal.
Amen.
Any loved ones that's saved and they're going on to be with the Lord, you're going to meet them again. They're in a wonderful place, and you're going to meet them again. There's going to be a meeting in the air. And there's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a wedding. I know a lot of people's already had it. A lot of people preach, you've already had the wedding, but I'm waiting on it. How many's waiting?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
We're waiting for the wedding.
Amen.
We've been exposed to one husband already.
Amen.
But we're waiting on the wedding.
Glory.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Amen.
There's going to be a wedding. There's going to be a meeting in the air and the sweet, sweet by and by.
Glory.
I'm going to meet you and greet you over there in the sweet, sweet by and by. Oh, I tell you, the Lord's coming for his own people.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he's going to take you. Take you. You could be going to the shop. You could be in your bed. I don't know where you or I could be, but he's going to take you. And there was no such thing as wait to finish this or wait to finish that. Two were in the field. One was taken, one was left. Two were in the bed. One was taken, one was left. You need to be saved and sealed with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. Look at this word in this scripture here. We is all unharmed, unmoved. If our house was dissolved, we should not be undone. If we are to lose this earthly tent, old coat, we have a building of God eternal in the heavens. We!
Amen.
We've got it because of the Lord. The new coat, the real man, the essential self is out of harm's way. And all that he talks about is the falling to pieces of the certain tabernacle or the tent, the old coat, in which this present he is living in. Many people are in a great worry and a fright about the future. They're in a great worry, they're in a great fright. And I see so many preachers and all worrying all about this and all that. I wouldn't even get involved in it. Because over the years, they get involved in things, and when you watch it for a season, they're no longer preaching the gospel. They're chasing a dog's tail. Let me say it like that. You ever see a dog chasing his own tail? He's going nowhere. Isn't that right? God's got something for us to do, and that's preach the gospel. All he does is preach the gospel. Let me shake his hand well, for God's gonna. That I might know nothing else amongst you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Doesn't tell you to preach anybody else. Lifetime spent preaching other things, but we need to have a lifetime spent preaching Jesus Christ and taking forth the great commission to the world. That's what God wants us to do. Many people, they're in a great worry about the future. Yet here is the Apostle Paul viewing the worst thing that could happen to him with such complacency. That's what he's like. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. He's no fear of it. He's no worry of it. Because he knows he's going to go to be with the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Which is far better. Do you see that wee bit that says, which is far better? The Bible makes no language mistakes. And I don't believe it does. And I don't believe that somebody has a right to poke in there and change it and add their wee piece in or take a wee bit out, because Revelation warns them, don't add to the Word of God, don't take away from it, or the plagues written in this book will be added to you and your name will be taken off the book. What a warning God gives to tamper with the Word of God. Say it like it says it. Hallelujah. And you know that the Bible language is great language. Paul views it pulling down of the tent in which he was making. You know, he knew what he's talking about because he made tents. The old coat is done away and a new one is waiting. He was afraid of nothing beyond that, and if it happened, he had that expectation which reconciled him with the event that he's going to be changed. He had a great anticipation and he had joy over it. That he was going to go to be with the Lord. Paul was not absolutely sure. Paul was absolutely sure that his body would be dissolved. He hoped that he might be alive and remain at the coming of the Lord. You know, Paul, what I'm saying is, Paul wasn't saying, this will happen to me. Paul was believing the Lord would come in his time. And we must believe the Lord will come in our time. And then somehow smart Alec pops his nose up. And you always get him, you never need to look for him. I've been hearing that for years. Well, it's closer now than it was when you first heard it. And the Bible says the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And you see, a day with the Lord is as a thousand years. A thousand years is as a day with the Lord. Time's nothing to God. Look what God met with Abraham. And he said to him, Abraham, I'm going to do for you the thing you've asked. This Eliezer is not the one. It's by your seed, Abraham. And God assured him, and God promised him, and God spoke to him. And he met him, and he said, I am the exceeding shield and thy great reward, Abraham.
Amen.
And he told him, and Sarah, when he, in Genesis 18, when he come and he spoke, and at the tent door was back to the tent to reveal the secrets of the heart, and Sarah laughed at it. And then she denied that she laughed. But she laughed. But God didn't condemn her because of Abraham. Is that right? And we're not condemned because of Christ. Can you get that this morning? We're justified in him. Whom we have justified, then we have glorified. Justified means when you're saved and born again as though you never done it in the first place. There's no other work program that can save you more. You're already saved.
Amen.
And as Gary once said to me, you know, and it was good, they're as well saved now as they were when they first got saved. It's not the truth. How could you get saved more when you already were saved?
Amen.
Now you can go on with God and get the Holy Ghost, and we know all that. Thank God. Paul had no worries. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, 50 and 52. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. We're going to be changed.
Amen.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump of God, for the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. So the Bible says you'll be changed in a moment. It doesn't say you're gone in a moment. But a lot of people mix that. How many knows I'm telling the truth here? They say they'll go in a moment. Now, I don't know how long it'll take the Lord to take you. Changed in a twinkling of an eye. But I'll tell you one thing, God's going to change you.
Amen.
You think of it. Think of for me for a moment now. Let's say that I took everybody in this church and got you entered in a program, a fitness program. And any of us that's overweight, like myself, and you wanted to get slimmed down, you'd have to go through a program. I'm just saying, how long would it take? Rock rackets, a couple of years. Even nice of us. Some of you fellas could do it maybe in a couple of months. Not nasty, boy. And I thought it wasn't too bad. Brotherly love, all right, brother, God bless you. I still love you. But you see, how long would it take? You see my point of making. You could do all that, join a program, you could make yourself body beautiful. But when the Lord comes for you, He'll do it in a moment.
Amen.
He'll not need no Joe Weider supplement, no pills for the ills, or no powders.
Amen.
But the power of God coming on you, I'll transform you in a moment.
Amen.
In one moment, you'll be changed.
Glory.
Made like a young man and a young woman in a moment. Think of the vigor of youth, these young fellas here. It's the truth. I know myself, when you get to a certain age and you think to yourself in your head you can do anything you used to do, but you can't do it. And if you think you can, right, we'll go out and we'll try the mile. I'd need the wife to ring her part ways round him and come and lift me. Come and get me. But when I was 14 or 15 like these fellas, I could have run it back ways. And that's not an exaggeration.
Right.
I'd have run it like nothing. But age. And I'm still a young fella, but.
Amen.
But age comes, you can't do it. But when God changes you, you're going to be changed back. Some people say you'll be like you're 21 again at your peak. That's true, but I believe you'll be even better than that because you're in heaven.
That's right.
How many believes that this morning? Yeah, I tell you, I have not seen, nor ear hath it heard, neither has it entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love Him, who are the called according to His promise. God's called you, and God loves you, and God's going to change you.
He'll
transform you.
Great.
Hallelujah. I'm not bald over there either, brother. I'll have a head of hair. Golden locks, brother. Now you'll be all right too, brother Larry. Praise God. God's going to change us. Isn't it wonderful? Amen. There's no guarantee here how long we've got. We've only got the Word of God and the basis we go by, which is wonderful. 70 years, 10 more per reason of health, and God could give you more. We know that. But you know, originally it was 1,000 years. But no man made it. Because of the fall in the garden. No man made it. But we're going to live and reign with Christ. Here's one. Not only does the Lord change you, not only do you go to heaven, but what about when you come back with Him? What about when you come back with Him? King and Queen. And you stand on the Mount of Olives and you split in two and the great river will go up there into Jerusalem. And we will live and reign with Christ in this earth for 1,000 years. Hallelujah! Every man under his own vine tree. Glory to God.
Amen.
Living and reigning with the Lord 1,000 years. And the devil's bound with a chain of circumstances for 1,000 years. That old devil called Satan. Bound. For 1,000 years we will live in this earth. The very thing that couldn't happen is going to happen. Because of the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to have to rush you along because the time's gone. Still, Paul was willing to leave this in the Lord's hand, and when he saw it to be possible that he should be numbered among the blessed dead who die in the Lord, he did not shrink from that appointment, or, you know, shipwrecked in the deep. Paul was beaten with stripes placed on his back. Paul suffered for the Lord. But Paul didn't just suffer for the Lord. Paul had a ministry like no other ministry, because my Bible says special miracles were wrought by the hands of Paul the Apostle. Hallelujah. And we know Peter also was mightily used of the Lord, and the Pope thinks he's the successor of Peter. But I have news for him. He couldn't lace Peter's boots. Peter was a real thing. Peter was a real thing. Hallelujah. The apostle perceived that the body in which he lived was frail in itself. Paul was actually a tent maker betrayed, which I've said. The use of tents was common enough among the Roman people in Paul's day. The gentry delighted in bright pavilions which they could set up and you know, for their pleasure. And the commoner folk would find pleasure in spending a part of their time under the canvas. While Paul was sitting writing this letter, it is problematic, he could say, while he's writing, true, that he had a tent or two to fix. And this suggests to him the language of the verse before us. For we know that our earthly hearts in this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God.
Amen.
Paul was inspired from his work of his hands what he was doing.
Amen.
Here's another thought. Provision of which the Apostle Paul most surely knew. Provision. There is provision for you to be going to heaven. This is the most important thing of any sermon. There is a provision. That provision is Jesus Christ. You must know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. It's not joining the church or signing a book or belonging to the sect or program or some other thing. It's knowing Christ is your Lord and Savior. That's the provision. Jesus Christ is that provision. Jesus Christ is God's one and only provided way. There's no other way. He's God's provided way, hallelujah, to heaven.
Yeah.
I'm glad for that way this evening. Paul knew he would have to, you know, open his eyes in a naked condition and cry, woe is me. No, he knew he had a new coat. But that's what he would have cried if he hadn't a new coat. Woe is me. And every single man and woman that's not born again will cry out, woe is me. You need to be clothed with the garments of Christ. When a tent is newly placed in a frail structure, you know, a tent's very frail. It's frail. A tent is frail compared to the structure of a house. Very much like our feeble frame which we live in. You can be up healthy and strong and full of vigor and do wonderful feats of different things that you're able to do that maybe other people couldn't do. But in a moment you can be struck down. Because our body is frail. How many knows that this morning?
Amen.
You could be in the top today and frail tomorrow.
Amen.
That's why there needs to be provision made.
Yeah.
For life beyond death.
Amen.
Oh, how blessed is the Lord. You know, when you look back to your youth and think of the things some people were able to do. Great things. And you could tell people about it and they wouldn't even believe it. It's so great feats of strength, but yet the body, that same body is strong and vigorous, becomes frail and weak.
That's right.
And can feel away before you. And you see the structure so frail, so weak, and it feels before you, but there's hope in Christ if you're born again.
Yes.
You have another tabernacle.
Right.
It's just the old coat lying there.
Right.
Hallelujah. The old coat lying there, absent from the body and present with the Lord. Paul felt and knew that his body, you know, wouldn't need much force to overthrow it. It suffered a lot, Paul. Paul went through a lot. Paul knew what he's preaching about. It was like an old tent or coat. And our bodily strength is nothing really. No man can predict how long he or she will last. And the frail tent you live in, you can't predict it. You could put a man in a program. You know, I studied once and it shocked me.
Now, when you hear this, you can check this if I'm wrong, but I'm near sure I studied this.
A fellow that trains, does fitness, whatever that may be, fitness, so many evenings a week, and the fellow that lies on the chair, you know how much extra
In life, they reckon maybe 6 months. But that's just a man's opinion. He mightn't get any. 6 months, they reckon. That's the truth. And the fellow lies in the chair an evening when does nothing, and the fellow trains all his life to perfect himself, gets about maybe 6 months.
Because your body's frail. It's appointed on the man wants to die. And no matter the boy's lying in the chair or whatever somebody else is doing, they're still under the same thing. Do you see the point? They're under the same condition. It's a condition called death, but thank God for life.
Amen.
For we all die in Adam, but we shall live in Jesus Christ. You know, man could predict how long they're going to last. We have heard over the recent weeks, months, and years, you know, people going to the grave. Big, strong, healthy people, and they've went to the grave. There's no prediction can be made. There's no guarantees in this life how long you're going to have. But there's a guarantee when you're in Jesus Christ, you have eternal life. That's the guarantee that men are passing by that they need to be assured of. And if somebody ever says, you know, they said it of old Willie Mullen, you know, he took a funeral once and he preached the gospel at it. And some boys pulled him after it. And they said, Mr. Mullen, do you not think it was a wee bit out of season preaching the gospel at a funeral? And he says, that, brothers, perhaps it was. And they said, well, we thought it was. And he says, well, praise God. He says, what do you mean? He says, God told me to preach it in season and out of it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you something. There's a man's funeral I went to, and he raised pigeons, fair age of a man, great man. I thought an awful lot of him. And I was standing in the corner near his house at the funeral, and there's two men come over to me, and I was sharing a wee bit about the gospel, a couple of different people, and one boy litting me. He litting me. Now, I mean, he gave me the works. And everybody heard it. But they buried him in about 3 months after that funeral. Nobody knows how long they've got. And I tell you, if a man is preaching the gospel, never, ever take it upon yourself or ever back up. Somebody else is going to stop that man. Or you're going to get yourself in trouble. And I don't care if he's a Baptist, Elam, or Presbyterian, or whatever label he's under. If he's preaching Jesus Christ, say amen.
Amen.
And God bless him. But don't try and stop him. Because God says his word will go into all the earth. Their sound went into the whole earth. The sound of the gospel.
Glory.
There's people today and they say they're revelated. They're revelated people. You ever heard of people that's revelation revelated? They're revelated. But if I took a man tonight to one of their services that's not saved, when he would come out, he still wouldn't be saved. For he wouldn't hear anything about getting saved. Now I tell you, brothers and sisters, that is an awful thing. We used to say that about some old denominations here, and we're right when we said it. But we condemn them. But what about the other ones now that's doing it? Are they better than them? Do you see what I'm saying? The gospel of Christ must be preached. What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and in the end lose his own soul? 1 Peter 1:24. For all flesh is as the grass, and the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass wither, the flower falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel is a transformer. It's a savior. It saves. Paul knew that he had a Father in heaven. For Paul received the spirit of sonship. Amen? If you received the spirit of sonship, you have the spirit of sonship, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. You have a Father in heaven this morning. A Father that when you pray, He hears you.
Amen.
And He answers you.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm going to have to close and come to communion. But let me read two more scriptures, then we're going to come to communion. Romans 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Oh, that God would lead us by the Holy Ghost. Sometimes the flesh wouldn't want to go the way the Spirit's leading. But the Bible talks about bringing your flesh into subjection, crucifying it to the Spirit. Is that right? We need to crucify it daily, all of us. Galatians 4, verse 5 to 7. To the redeem them that were under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of a Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Heirs of God through Christ. Let's come this morning, and we're going to ask the brethren to come in a moment. I want to read 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11. And maybe, I hope someone's been said to help somebody. I know maybe I've rushed it, but 1 Corinthians 11, chapter 11, verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup, and when he had supped, saying, This is the New Testament in my blood. This do, as often as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly amongst you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let's bow our heads, and maybe I'll continue on that subject that I've tried to bring this morning in another service. There's just so much in it, praise God.